welcome, everybody. It's time once again for the next chapter with Charlie Hedges. As he explores turning the page on his life and yours. Hey, Charlie.
Hello, Paul. You know, in the 1990s, I wrote a book subtitled Reinventing the Life You Want. Now, as it turns out, that book might just have been a bit ahead of its time. You know, it did well, but it did not sell like we thought it would. It seems that people were not that interested in reinventing their lives when the book came out. Well, today is different. My special guest, Hillary DeCesar, has a new book titled Relaunch, Spark Your Heart to Ignite Your Life. And Hillary's ideas about how to relaunch your life are brilliant. She offers unique and hugely effective methods specifically crafted to ignite solutions for your success in today's changing environment. After a decade of working at Oracle Corporation, Hillary DeCesar began consulting with C-suite executives in the Silicon Valley on how to relaunch their life and business and relationships in order to reach better goals and to align future possibilities. So with that introduction, let's bring on our guest, Hillary DeCesar. Welcome to the next chapter with Charlie.
Oh, thanks, Charlie. And I love that you wrote that book in the 90s, Reinventing the Life You Want. And I think it laid the groundwork for what I then added to that, which we launch.
Oh, yeah. You have so much more stuff. I really like your work. And at the time, I don't know, it was funny at the time, you know, it sold, you don't tell numbers, but it sold like 25,000 copies, but that just was not, it was not what we were looking for. But, you know, mm-hmm. you just say that's not a bad turnout, but it's not what I was looking for. You know what I want to do, Hillary? I want to start our time today, and I want to go right to your book. I rarely do this, but I want to go right to Relaunch, Spark Your Heart, which is a key phrase, Spark Your Heart to Ignite Your Life. Can you tell me what is relaunch and who needs it?
These days, unfortunately, that we all seem to be going through massive relaunches, whether it's the global relaunches that are happening with the pandemic, with the war, with financial crisis, whether it is personal relaunches that include, you know, leaving a career, going to another, relationship relaunches, or even, you know, moves, people moving from big cities to suburbs, moving out of cities altogether into different states. Or if it's a business relaunch where you are trying to scale your business, trying to figure out with this, what I call not the new normal, the new different, how are you going to create the next version of your company? And so with all of these relaunches, it's the first time in our lives where it's the triple whammy. It's like all of these are coming at us at once. So the time for relaunch, it's interesting. When I first started this business almost 4 years ago, it was before, you know, everything kind of went down and, you know, imploded. And I remember I had a few people say, relaunch, Hillary, are you sure? That name, are you sure it, you know, are people going to know what that is? And today I say it and people are like, oh yeah, yeah, you know, I'm in a relaunch. And I haven't met a single person that, even if they're in the personal relaunch of trying to find a little bit more of that inner connection, that's an individual relaunch as well. So I think that there's never been a better time to understand that you can take a deep breath and say, you know what, we're all in this together.
You know, there's an interesting dynamic that's going on right now. One is a dissatisfaction with where I'm at currently, but also there's another that you know, people for historically would just kind of live with it, say that's life, you know, I'll deal with it, you know, I'm going to work this job for 60 years or 40 years or whatever and then retire. People are not settling for that anymore, and that's why I think this is so timely, and the idea of relaunch is so inspiring because it gives me an opportunity to do something different. Now, I want to ask about relaunch. It seems to have that it includes two audiences. It includes one, a relaunch, or somebody wants to take their current situation, whether it be business or lifestyle or whatever, and improve on that. But there's also a relaunch where you're just starting something new from scratch, is there not?
You know what? What happens is that there are multiple forms of relaunches, because you can have a successful business that, you know, you're in your six figures, you're in your seven figures, and with today's global situation, with things that are happening, that you need to be relaunching that business for scalability purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some that are truly, a lot of individuals, we hear about quiet quitting, we hear about the great resignation. I really call it the great revelation, because people are finding, and we just did a massive survey about this on, you know, what's really going on with people in the workforce. And for the first time ever, we received more input around, I want to find my purpose, than ever before. Ever in the past, it was number 3, 4, 5. This time, it was number 1. People have had a chance to reflect. They've had a chance to really assess where they are. They have, you know, they've had a chance to be a little bit more present. And now people are, and by the way, the top growth industry outside of tech is actually coaching and entrepreneurship.
It's serious.
Fascinating. More people are becoming interested in, you know, you have something within you. And again, it doesn't matter what it is. It could be, you know, I'm looking at my desk right now, and there's this bowl that my 21-year-old made when she was about 10. You know, people are doing pottery. People think that they're really good at, you know, making candles. People are really good at, you know, any of these hobbies. And people are like, you know what? This is what I'm really passionate with. I want to coach people in how to sing. I want to coach people in how to, whatever it is, make, you know, build podcasts, build shows, build courses. It's what sets you, what sparks you. That's why you have that relaunch, spark your heart. It's like, what is going to help you ignite your life? And if I can, I'd like to go back to, you know, your book, Reinventing the Life You Want, that you said in the 90s. And what I've found is that when you think about what happened in the 60s, the 70s, 80s, it was all about IQ, intelligence, how smart are you?
Right.
Leadership was built around IQ and around problem solving. Then in the 90s, we started to just kind of tip the scale and say EQ. EQ is what you need to have. But it was still, as you said, you were kind of ahead of your time, the visionary, right? It was just starting to really become, but people didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
You know, was the emotional quotient, that EQ, more of a, you know, your feminine, like, oh gosh, if I do that, you know, I'm leaning more into this feminine side. And people didn't quite know how to leverage it until actually 10 to 20 years later. And even Sheryl Sandberg, when she did Lean In, if you can believe this, that was almost, I think it's been now 10 years. I think it was 2013. And when you think about what she was suggesting, you know, we've since proved that whole, you know, lean in, be a part of the, you know, the conversation, be at the table. That didn't work either, because it too was like, wait a second. it's not mapped to where we are going as a society, as a global, you know, movement. We're not, we don't want that anymore. We don't want to be forcing ourselves. And my gosh, Charlie, I've got the greatest story about forcing myself to be a part of the table. And then I get to the table and I hate it. So, but I want to go back to this. So what's happening today with everything that's taken place is I put it in the book and I call it 3HQ. So not IQ, not EQ, but 3HQ.
And let's hold off on that because I've got questions. I've got a boatload of questions on 3HQ. So we'll come back to that. But go ahead.
What you said was this whole idea of dissatisfaction. And, you know, there is a, and it's interesting, I was just teaching a course today, and there's a formula for change. And it's a fantastic formula, and I love to describe it. Because when you think about this is what's happening to everyone, the formula for change is this. It's dissatisfaction multiplied by your vision of where you ultimately want to be, plus your first step has to be greater than your resistance. And what do I mean by that? Your dissatisfaction is whatever you haven't been able to accomplish to date. You know, perhaps when you were younger, you had this vision of having, you know, a house like this, a husband, a wife like this, a salary like this, a whatever, you know, this type of little, you know, extra thing or that. And so you have this dissatisfaction, like something's just not right. And it could even be dissatisfaction with, I'm not happy where I am. I'm not happy with my job. I'm not happy with what I'm doing. Then what we do is we look at your vision of where do you want to be? What would actually make you happy? What would be like that spark that would be like, gah, if I could get there, if I could, you know, impact people, if I could, you know, really feel like I'm making a difference, whatever it is.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I want to come in. I got questions about that. So, one of the things earlier you were talking about is that. At the end of the day, people are looking for meaning and purpose. That is driving. And so all of these factors that you brought up are contributing to finding purpose. You know, one of the things that occurs to me that is at a loss is in the United States, you know, I can't speak. I travel a lot internationally, but I can't speak for other cultures. But in the United States, we've lost faith in two value systems that have upheld us for a number of years. And that is, one is faith in some kind of deity, that there are values associated with this deity. It's not just a belief system. There are values, you know, personal values that are associated with it. But also, we've lost the value in the last decade of the United States, that what we stood for at one time, you know, we have people saying that we are, you know, a sort of a broken society that doesn't care for people and values. So I have this feeling that people are lost. They're hungry for meaning. They, you know, where they once could find meaning, they can't find it. So now they've got to discover. And so there's so much experimentation going on. But I agree with you, at the heart of it is meaning. Do you agree that this kind of loss of values, of traditional values, has something to do with a feeling of loss of meaning?
You said it so well with the whole concept of faith in something. You know, we all have to have that understanding that there is something bigger than us. And there are, you know, hundreds of ways to call God, mm-hmm. universe, mm-hmm. source, mm-hmm. you know, Buddha. I mean, you could name them. I mean, they do so much. But the point when people are so stuck with, you know, the ego and with themselves and they can't get out of their own way, it's when they are narrowly focused and they don't have a great example is I've lost my mom and my dad in the last few years, only a few months ago, my dad. And right before
he
passed, thank you, and right before my mom passed, actually, I actually asked the question around faith and around where do you think, you know, what's next? And there was a real calmness in both of them that they knew that there was something bigger than themselves. They knew that, you know, it wasn't just about them. It wasn't, and they lived their life that way, and they absolutely lived it as, you know, there was the value system that they could count on. When you're not aware of your values, your core values, then you get changed and you get off course.
You get a need for meaning. You get, you know, because there is no meaning. When you lose yourself, what is there to stand on?
So true. And I'll give you another great example that I had a client who came to me, and he was wanting to sell his business. And it was for, you know, $100 million. I mean, this is a big deal and all that. And he was, you know, we got everything in order, and it ends up that it ends up happening. And afterwards, he is working through it, and he says, I got to be honest with you, I'm miserable. I'm so unhappy right now because it's now happened, and I don't know what's next. I put everything in this. I did it. My marriage is failing. I don't have a relationship with my child, and I'm really lost. And it was because he was so focused on the almighty dollar, let's get this done, that he hadn't put the why behind, why is it important? What are you going to do? Why does it matter that your company gets sold? It was all in his, you know, I got to get this done. This is what I've always thought. And he mentioned I always thought that when I sold the business, I would go and I would get a boat and I would sail around the world. And he said, and then I started to think, well, how do I do that with my wife and with my, you know, my son, and how, you know, what's going to happen? And then I said, well, you know, are you a sailor? Do you take vacations? And he kind of paused. And he said, actually, I don't even like sailing. Okay, so this is what you wanted to do, but you don't even like it. He said, No, but when I was young, one of my dad's friends did this, and I thought it would be super cool. And I said, well, here's the thing. We're not spending enough time thinking about what do we really want in life? What do we really, what is the value, as you said, these value systems?
And that's where you come in with the why question that I think is, you know, what is the driver? You know, I told you we would talk about 3HQ, and I want to get into that because you have this framework that you've created that you call the 3HQ, which stands for head, heart, and higher self. Now, we'll discuss higher self a bit later in the show. Right now, I would like to discuss this vital and essential integration of head and heart. Now, as indicated by the subtitle of your book, Spark Your Heart to Ignite Your Life. Obviously, heart is very important to you, and the heart is the why to the head. But even before we get there, I want to talk about, we live in a left brain, data-oriented world with a screaming need to some conversion to right brain images and feelings. Talk to me about the problem that you have expressed about thinking too much without investigating the heart. What is the problem of thinking? It sounds like, you know, the man you were describing was thinking about some situation without investigating his heart. What did he truly desire?
Yeah, and he had, you know, up until the point where we started talking about it, he had never even thought about that. He had never even, like, what? Like, why? You know, I don't need to do that. I need to, and he was living 100%, as you just said.
Yeah, where is it taught, Hillary? We don't learn it in school, you know, and since we've sort of loss of liberal education in college. We don't read about it in philosophy because we don't read philosophy. So, you know, everything is about productivity and about how can I be more productive in our society. And that is a very sort of head-oriented direction, don't you think?
I do, and they, for the first time ever, because employees are demanding it, we're really now starting to look forward, and it's starting to take shape, which is heart-centered leadership. Before, it was a form of weakness. Today, and I just read this, 30 to 40% of Fortune 500 companies now are bringing in some form of mindfulness, wellness practice that they're offering employees. And I, you know, again, having, like, this is what my 3HQ is based on. If, you know, there's the business angle of 3HQ and there's the personal side. This is what's needed, but people haven't been trained in it. They haven't had the steps that are so associated with the head. And we often say with 3HQ, you got to get out of your head into your heart. And too many people have been living in their head. And so it's become a subconscious habit to even be living in your head. Then that's where you go automatically. So what I'm looking to do is change the paradigm. I'm looking for people to create new habits around asking yourself, well, why? And I often say when I'm working with men, I call it the wizard, the why wizard. And when I work with women, I call it the wise women. And it's about really tapping into something that we're also never taught about, which is intuition.
You're leading into I think a very, very essential question that will really help our listeners, and that you work with heart-centered people and developing heart-centered people, but in a world that is head-centric, how does one begin to access the musings of the heart? How do you even get there to find out what that is?
So there is something that I have found by the, you know, quite a few conversations with the C-suite in companies right now, and they're trying to get people to come back into the office. They're trying to figure out how are they going to continue to have hybrid models. They're trying to figure out what's next. And what they're seeing is that you can't, via the head, convince people anymore that, hey, revenue numbers, you'll do better if you're in the company inside the walls, come back in. That's not even resonating anymore. It's going over. But the problem is that the executive team, that's how they have always done it.
That's how they succeeded.
Usual.
You know, that's been their formula.
As usual. And now your question of, you know, how do we bring this in? How do we? And you really have to, and that was in the formula for change, I talk about your first step. First step is understanding that your business has to have some type of, these days it's mandatory, some type of gratitude practice built in as part of the core values of the company. That there is this appreciation for people, what they're doing, how they're doing it, and making them feel like it's not you're an employee, it's one that you're now part of the team, and we are going forward with, here's how we're going to produce success. And even using, you know, some of the words these days that they're no longer resonating. It's like, you know what? You can say all that, you know, you can hit me with, you know, more quota, you can give me, you know, less territory, But people are waking up to this fact that when you are not, when you're living in a life of Zoom calls, there has to be a way to build rapport. And I often have to go in and you know, not just teach the gender intelligence piece that I talk about in the book, but also rapport building. And people often say, Hillary, how do you build rapport when you're on a Zoom? Well, energy is on a Zoom call. We all breathe out, we breathe in. When you are breathing out and you're talking, because you're breathing out as you talk, you're not breathing in as you talk. Then when you breathe in, you actually pause when you're talking. You can mimic somebody's breathing so that that becomes, remember, like attracts like. And we want to make people feel comfortable. If they're breathing faster, you can breathe faster. And it's all energy. Everything is energy. So I don't want to go into too many of these because I can get, you know, I can go down the rabbit hole.
But yeah, yeah.
So
let's.
Fascinating to me.
I have a few more questions, but before we get to the questions, it's time for us to take a brief break. And then I have a handful of questions I want to ask you. Hi there, you're listening to The Next Chapter with Charlie, and I'm Charlie Hedges, and my special guest today is Hillary DeCesar, and we are talking about relaunching, about integrating the title of the book is Relaunch, Spark Your Heart to Ignite Your Life, and I think we're talking largely about the integration of the heart into our whole life. And I have two questions. One, and you can just give me a brief answer on this one, that you're talking that leadership needs to be more heart-oriented, more gratitude-oriented. Are you finding companies are more successful at doing that with younger managers, with younger CEOs, and that when you get older, when you get the people that are 60 and 70 and still running companies, they're still stuck in an old paradigm? Do you find that?
I definitely do, without a doubt. And it's because we do, you know, we're taught with, you know, the sales programs and really anyone
numbers driven
is midlife. We're all focused in there. So it's the youth that's coming up. It's the next generations that are coming up that have now gone through this hybrid, that's working from home and realizing that, you know what? This is what I want. And so that's why I'm saying we've got to look at subconsciously changing habits. That's what we have to be doing. We have to be thinking about habit changing to allow for that. It's not a, you know, a sign of weakness if you are saying that, you know, hey, I want to just let you know that there's an appreciation practice that we're doing right now. You know, we're right in the middle of something huge at our company right now, and we get on a call in the morning, 5 minutes, and we, you know, someone starts and say, you know, hey, I just want to say I'm doing a shout out to Patrick because he did this today. And then Patrick takes it from there and does another shout out to somebody else. And it's acknowledging that, you know what, especially when you are working from different places, it gives you that connection. I mean, it brings you together.
You know, something else I was thinking about that has to do with this is that when we're talking about being head-oriented or heart-oriented, I think there is a gender bias in our culture where many people think that men are head-oriented and women tend to be more heart-oriented. But in one of the studies that I have participated in, not in conducting the studies, but analyzing the research, is that data doesn't really support that. that, you know, the Myers-Briggs does this thinking and feeling, this head and this heart thing. And there is a slight, they came up, and this was like, when I saw this data, was about 20 years ago, so I don't know what it is now. But there was only a very slight gender bias. It was 54% women were of the feeling heart-oriented, and 46% of men. So, I mean, it's really, it's minimal, the difference. And, mm-hmm. and you and I talked earlier about the integration of head and heart. And I think, I think it is not a gender bias. It is a chemical, historical. It's, you know, it's both nurture and nature. Just what do you think about, I'm sure you've heard this gender bias. What do you think of that?
Well, I think that it's very similar to the days of in elementary school and middle school where girls were, you know, told you're a great reader and boys, you're great at math. It's gender bias at that point. I've read so many studies, and I put some in the book, that talk about where if you pull a group of kids and you say, hey, teacher, this group of kids, they are really struggling. They are, you know, almost like, you know, they're really not going to do well. The teacher ends up giving them not really great grades. In fact, most of them, I believe, they ended up getting C's and D's. Then they went to a different teacher, and there was a, you know, oh God, these are star students, honor students, you know, A's, and guess what? They got all A's. And so there's always this bias, and it's fascinating because I've done a lot of research on this as well, that it is about when you can know and trust that you are on that equal playing field, that you understand. And it's, you know, when you do scientific experiments and the person conducting it can change the outcome of the experience. There is a slit experience that, you know, depending on who was doing it, it changed the outcome, yet it was the same experiment. So what I want to say is this, that it has been where, you know, we talk about the feminine side being heart, emotion, the head side being, you know, male dominated. Well, growing up the way I did in the Silicon Valley and being in high tech, it was...
You were head oriented.
I was completely, I mean, I was in my pants, I was, you know, coming in, I was very much, and I used to call it the third sex, in that I, you know, there's the man, there's the woman, and then there's the woman trying to be the man. Today, with more genders coming up and everything, what's happening is there's an awareness that there is now, when people are truly getting to be evolved and they understand this, we have feminine energy. We're all energy.
Everything. Right. We have male and female energies.
We have male energy and female. And the really great leaders tap into both forms of that energy.
You know, I can speak of that personally. I had a spiritual director that I was working with. And I have always sort of been in the middle of head and heart, but a definite bias toward the heart, or I'm sorry, toward the head. And as I have gotten older, and, you know, there's lots of reasons behind this. The, you know, one of the studies that I've shown, that I've read, shows that change happens as you get older. But as I've gotten older, I hate to say the word visitation, but they were dreams, and it was another thing, and other things that occurred, where the divine feminine really became a huge part of my life. And it has impacted my decision-making, my person, my direction in life, to where the feminine can often take precedence for me over over the masculine. And it's just, It's intuitive, it's caring, it's looking between the lines, it's reading emotions, reading people. You know, that my EQ has gotten better. I just am such an advocate of this integration of both head and heart, and that they just mutually feed upon one another.
Well, they say that when you think about your intuition, where does it come through? It's in your heart. That's the organ that it actually comes through. And for some, you know, we say, well, but wait, it's a gut reaction. So you've got the stomach, you've got the heart, but the heart is where it taps in. It's the feeling, it's the emotion of what is coming through to you. And what you just said is so valuable. Obviously, with your book that you wrote in the 90s, you were ahead of the curve in understanding that you have the divine feminine, and that when you can tap into it, it's not a form of weakness. It's a form of strength.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a whole different angle. Now, another thing you talk about the heart that I think is really important for our listeners and really important for relaunching your life, and you sort of allude to the fact that the heart sheds light on our internal why, that we not only need to know what we're doing it and how we're doing it, we need to know why. What is the key driving source that is taking us there, and how does the heart shed light on this why question?
Well, I'd love to take a step back here because it's so critical in how I'm going to answer this. And a lot of times you hear a lot of the gurus out there that are saying, you know, love yourself, love your life, love your business, love, 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 love. And people can't go from where they are right now, and it's almost like crossing the chasm. They can't go from this, like, but wait, I'm in the middle of, like, I don't like where I am right now. I don't like my life. I don't like who I become. I don't, you know, I'm not happy. And so to go right there and to jump over to love, 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 love. So a lot of times what we have to
go from
like, you know, like to love. Let's start with like, because we're over at not liking, hating, divine discontent, and then we got to get to like, and then we can go to love. And so when you're going through the, whether you call it the why wizard or the wise woman, or you incorporate one of these, what you're really doing is taking the, where do you ultimately, I made the, you know, the formula for change, the vision. What is that? Because so many people are like, I didn't want to go there. It's never going to happen for me. I'm never going to be able to change everything. And I'm saying, yes, you can. We got to start with, what if? What if it actually did happen? What would you really want? Start small. Don't be like, you know, thinking, you know, the big stuff. I just need people to see when it starts to work, that once it starts to work, it's like that snowball that picks up more velocity as it's going down the mountain. And so when you look at it from the why wizard, let's say, and you're pushing yourself. So, you know, I really want to find, you know, a different type of job. Well, why? Well, because, you know, I want to make more money. Well, why? Well, because I really want to be able to, you know, take my family, help my family, you know, with different things. I want to take them on vacation. Well, why? And then you end up getting to the real why. And then all of a sudden their vision takes shape. It starts to come to life. And then once you have that vision that is so crystal clear now, that's when you say, all right, taking a massive step, crossing the chasm is going to be hard. But if I can do one first step, then my formula for change starts to take hold.
And when you say your formula for change, your 3HQ formula?
Well, it's all about that dissatisfaction with the vision plus the first step, which, remember, what I'm trying to do is get people to understand how 3HQ can change their life. And a lot of times, you know, you say, get out of your head. Somebody's like, how do I do that?
Right. Get out of my head. That's where I've been for 40 years.
Yeah, or I've been there forever. I don't even, you know, am I in my head? You know, well, if things aren't going for you the way that you ultimately want them to go, if you don't have the relationship, if you don't have the job, if you don't have the things in your life that you ultimately really want, then there is some form of being stuck in your head. There's something that's happening. So in the head, my first thing that I always work on, and again, step. It's a step in the head because you want steps when you're in your head. So I always talk about, we have to get to the point where you can recognize you have a choice for the thoughts you think. And that is such a big point, that you have the choice of what thoughts you're going to think. We're the only thing on this planet that allows human beings have that. We have the ability to choose our thoughts. That is huge, because people a lot of times feel, I'm stuck, I'm overwhelmed. And my attitude is, no, nobody is stuck, because you have the choice right now. And it can be a 5-second thought that now you're thinking about, that's something that is positive, that's just gotten you out of being stuck. The definition of stuck is that you're not moving.
Yeah.
So you're moving. So it's fascinating when you start to do this and you start looking at the head space, and you're stuck in your thoughts, you're stuck in your identity, and you're stuck with your limiting beliefs, your habits. And that's what we work on first. I don't go straight to the heart. Oh, you know, again, it's about love. It's about, you know, no, if I did that, people would say, you know, I'm a Looney Tune, and like, go, you know, go somewhere else. I start with the head. I start with where most people are. And even people that are evolved, even people that are like going on this journey, and they start to realize, like, wow, that's why I'm not moving through the 3HQ processes quickly, because I'm still keeping these limiting beliefs going. I call them bugs, beliefs underground servicing.
Yeah.
Everybody has bugs. We are human. We have bugs. We have limiting beliefs. Best part, neuroscience.
This seems to me to be counterintuitive to a lot of people that, you know, have lived so long in the head and that need to move into the heart. How does somebody proceed along this line of getting more heart oriented without a coach? Because without somebody who has seen the light and can help them see the light.
So can I give you a really sweet story?
Yeah.
My 21-year-old daughter is dating a awesome guy who is 24 years old. I give him a book, and he puts it on the table. He's visiting his grandmother, and he's, you know, who knows if he's even picked it up, right? Next thing you know, she picks it up. She reads it, and after she's done reading the book, after 20-plus years of having a rift with her sister, she picks up the phone and calls and realizes that, you know what? I got to get out of my head. I got to get into my heart. And she called, and they now have developed that relationship again. After
no, is this your book, the relaunch book?
That's the relaunch book.
Oh, man, what an incredible resource.
And that was just the greatest call that I got. I mean, my daughter actually was the one who called me, and she was like in tears. She's like, Mom, do you know what's happening here? Do you know what you're putting out there? I'm like, you know what? I'm getting this daily. I've never felt more purpose driven than I do now. like, you know, as you know, you write a book, you don't know what's going to happen. You have no idea. You're like, I'm just going to put it out there.
Yep.
And, you know, it's resonating. People are like getting it. And the stories, and I'll have people that I have, you know, that come up to me and they'll say, you know, that story you told in there, oh my God, I had forgotten all about what happened to me when I was young. And oh my gosh, that sounds just like what I went through. Well, there's a blessing and a curse here. I've been called the relaunch queen because I've had over 30 significant, and you and I talked about this last time, significant relaunches from near-death experiences. We had a lot of, you and I have a lot of similarities. I've had, you know, just a lot of like big relaunches that for some they have, you know, two or three of these significant ones. So fortunately for everyone else, I want to share, I want to let people know that it doesn't have to crush you. It doesn't have to put you, you know, 6 feet under. You can survive massive relaunches and you can thrive and you can take the same approach. It doesn't have to be a negative relaunch. We have amazing relaunches. We have, you know, families getting married and, or not families, but people getting married and families coming together and, you know, grandmas that end up, you know, reaching out to their sister. And there's amazing things that come with relaunch, and the 3HQ method helps you, because you know what, Charlie, there's going to be another relaunch around the corner.
Always. I mean, it's a philosophy I live on, is that the beginning is the route to an end, and an end is the route to a beginning. It's just a continual cycle that we go on. I love your idea. We didn't get a chance to get into the higher self, but we could do that perhaps on another time. I really love the idea of the integration of the head and the heart. And I want to encourage our listeners to check out your book. It will be on the show notes, Relaunch, Spark Your Heart to Ignite Your Life. And get, you are talking about life-altering concepts that change not just your, you know, your business life and your professional life and even your relational life. It changes your internal life. It changes your joy of life, your joie de vivre. And we need to do that. And so, Hillary DeCesar, I want to thank you so much for spending time with me today. You've been so informative and so helpful.
Charlie, thank you. It's been such a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. I want to thank our listeners for tuning into the next chapter with Charlie. And until next, this is Charlie Hedges signing off. Bye for now.
And that's how we do it. Good stuff.
Boy, that went quick, didn't it?
That went quick.
It felt like it, even to me. Yeah, you were flowing. You were going.
That was really great and such great, great questions. Charlie, I know that you have been doing this a long time, but it is a pleasure to be interviewed by somebody like you.
How kind of
you.
Thank you. That really means a lot, Hillary. That means a lot to me. Thank you.
He puts a lot into these, more than most of our show hosts do. He really takes it.
Oh, wow. You can tell.
Dives into it, yeah.